Every superhero has their close confidants that help them achieve their goals, and Moon Knight is no different. Today on Night Night Spectre, we're talking about the original partner in crime fighting, Jean-Paul Duchamp, and on and off again lover, Marlene Alron.
Welcome to Night Night Spectre, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and splintered mind of Moon Knight.
I'm your host, Elizabeth.
And I'm Lawrence.
Welcome to the show. So one thing that we didn't really get from the Disney Plus series was a focus on Mark's comic book connections. And obviously for good reason, the show wanted him to be portrayed as this sort of like lone wolf, loathing anti-hero type, which is, you know, pretty accurate.
Yep. But first-time comic book readers might be a bit shocked to find out that not only does Mark have a best friend that accompanies him on various missions, he also has an on and off again, sometimes creepy love interest. So today on the show, we'll be talking about both of these characters and how they help shape Mark and Moon Knight.
But first, as always, let's get into some housekeeping. We'd love to hear from our listeners, so email us at nks@loreparty.com with your thoughts and questions, and you might just see them appear in a future episode. You can find Lawrence at produced_by_LK on Twitch and Twitter.
And you can find Elizabeth at itsrizbif, itsrizbif on Instagram and Twitter.
And of course, you can connect with the Lore Party team on Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch at lore_party.
And now that we have that housekeeping out of the way, here's a special word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
So why did we pick this topic? Well, not always present in the issues, Frenchie and Marlene are very much a part of Mark's origin as Moon Knight and have been the most consistent characters in the comics to stand alongside Mark Spector's Moon Knight. If Bushman takes credit for creating Moon Knight, these two should take credit for keeping him going. So let's get started.
Yeah, so the first thing we want to cover are just some simple details about both of these characters. So we'll start with Jean-Paul Duchamp, not French.
Sorry, but French people.
we'll start with him, who's also, he is affectionately dubbed Frenchie. But Jean-Paul Duchamp, basically, before the start of the series, was in a relationship, got out of said relationship, and then joined the French Foreign Legion and became a mercenary for hire. And this is where he just meets Mark Spector, who affectionately dubs him Frenchie, which by today's standards would probably be an insult.
It feels very like Cookie does to me. Like, you know, like people call the cook Cookie. I don't know.
Yeah, I would just be like, yeah, no, don't call me Frenchie, man. Please. as a black guy, I see the equivalent and Mark Spector would get punched in the throat. But, you know, after... like we mentioned, after he breaks off his relationship with the mostly uninteresting Isabel Crystal, it's a very uninteresting relationship. It does
we'll get to that later.
So after he ends this semi-important, kind of important relationship, he joins the French Foreign Legion. He meets Mark. They become friends. They complete jobs together. And then eventually... They take a job by the ever crazy and lovable person that we talked about on the last episode, Raoul Bushman. And that kind of kicks off all of the fun shit that we've mentioned about Mark's origin, you know, from accidentally being a part of a murderer of like a bunch of people in a dig site and getting powers of the Moon Knight.
Yeah.
But Frenchie decides to stick by Mark after this, and he becomes like a very close confidant, and he is a like personal pilot
of the Knight. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, what a good friendship.
Love it. We can talk about Marlene. She is the daughter of Dr. Peter Allron, which in the comics is the archaeologist that gets killed by Bushmen. Whereas in, obviously, the Disney Plus show, it was Layla's dad.
Yes, who's still the better doctor.
She's also a sister to Dr. Peter Allron Jr.
Because why name your kid anything different?
No, you know, ego and stuff. Before meeting Mark, she is a divorcee of Eric Fontaine. And honestly, throughout the comic book, she's kind of had this like weird career path where she started out as a personal secretary for Stephen Grant and helped crime fighting, sometimes going undercover. She worked as a social worker at Seaview Research Hospital. She worked at Spectre Corp. She worked at Falcon Corp.
Also, she was an archaeologist before this.
Yeah, which she like had, I think her degree was like some arts thing. Like, cause I don't think
she was like her dad.
I don't think she was educated to be an archaeologist. I could be wrong though. I might have.
She was on.
Skimmed over that part.
She was on the dig sites.
And you know, like, I get plot spoiler if you haven't read the Sun King run, but she's also a mother, and. Overall, she's very Daphne-esque, I would say. She's like, she's like capable, but she's most likely the one getting kidnapped and needing saved.
Yes, because Moon Knight was written a very long time ago. And so this is not my call, but this was someone's basically like role of women in comic books is to be saved, which is absolutely ass. So, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty. Non-interesting background.
When we say Layla was such an upgrade and such a, like a chef kiss masterpiece compared to Marlene, this is why we're what we mean.
Yeah, because otherwise, what's his name, Oscar Isaac would have probably looked like a dick.
Yeah,
but we'll move into some distinctive personality features for both of these characters.
And again, we'll start off with Frenchie. There. I love him just generally as a person. He is suave. He's adventurous. He's super smart and capable and has such a strong sense of loyalty. Like he, you know, going back to smarts, also common sense because he was the one that warned Mark, hey, maybe we should not be taking this job with Raoul Bushman. He is kind of crazy. Yeah. Things could go south. We should probably like just not. Obviously, he did. His warning fell on deaf ears, but and also kind of like you can't say no to Bushman. But
yeah, and he also Mark is just not easy to convince.
That's true. Mike is a little stubborn, but talented pilot, also talented, I guess, mechanic because he also created the mooncopter that he pilots to help Moon Knight.
Yes.
Which, like, amazing. I could not do that.
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah. Get yourself a friend that can fly a helicopter and shoot a gun and is also, like, a good listener.
Yeah. And is willing to babysit your kid, after you haven't seen him in a bit because he's been running a restaurant with his husband.
Yes. That's a big question mark. Oh, yes. Also, Frenchie discovers himself during the whole course of the Moon Knight comic.
Yeah, there is the relationships that he holds in the beginning, which we'll get to when we get to the key relationships, but
Frenchie's cool.
Yeah.
Now on to Marlene. Woo! On to Marlene.
Boo. And
the distinct personality features. And like, I'm not gonna lie here. Not, I'm very much not a huge fan of Marlene.
We are just anti-Marlene people.
But before anyone on the internet comes at me, I'm not a fan of Marlene because of how Marlene is written. I ultimately do respect Marlene's choices in the comic books, but goddamn, like, I mean, if it wasn't obvious that a bunch of like crusty old white guys wrote this character. I mean, come on now. It's very bad. But like, like Marlene is definitely a character that's like capable beyond her years. Like, she was an archaeologist. You know, dad's a doctor, brother's a doctor. She's had one wild career path. She's done a lot of things. She's assisted a superhero on, you know, secret mission. She's been injured because of that and recovered. She's done a lot of stuff. Like, she's a strong, very strong, powerful person. But like, she's really like one of the multiple roles that she serves is basically like Mark and Moon Knight's like moral compass or guiding light. Most of the time it's more focused on Mark because, well, she does go along with the Moon Knight thing. She kind of really hopes Mark grows out of it because like it's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, I think we can honestly say that both Frenchie and Marlene have acted at one time or another or both at the same time as Mark's like kind of like conscience.
Yes. And it's like it's one thing you go to find about Marlene is like she really doesn't want to be associated with Mark, as Moon Knight just kind of keeps happening. Like, they have a very on and off again relationship. In the beginning it was more like, yeah. Then a little bit after that, it's more like, ugh.
Yeah, in the beginning, she was very gung-ho and very passionate about helping and everything. And I think part of that was, you know, watching her father get killed at a dig site and then Mark being the one to like, saves the day. I think it just like, it takes a special type of person to be a superhero for a long time.
And
she's not that special type of person. She needs a break.
And I would just say it's probably disheartening to follow someone who is pretty much at times puppeted by Khonshu. It's not.
Oh, absolutely.
Like there's that ideal of a superhero where it's like, this is cool. And then there's like a superhero that's basically like sort of owned and operated by a guy or a god that just don't give a fuck. So like that's going to get. The paint's going to peel off of that one pretty quickly.
Yeah.
which it does. And, you know, ultimately, like, Marlene and Mark, you know, while Marlene does operate in this role in Mark's life, their relationship is hella toxic from the very beginning. Like, Marlene, I mean, it seems cool until you get to, like for instance, our previous episode, we covered the Arthur Harrow run. The part we left out in that episode was the fact that Marlene was in that issue. It just didn't matter because
yeah.
It started with Mark stalking her because she broke up with him and he went to where he knew she was going to be, to him chasing her down with his Corvette, only to get interrupted and go on a complete side mission. And then Marlene just goes and does her own thing. Not a very amazing relationship, but you know, hey, ultimately in Mark's life, Marlene is probably the most human or normal thing that's going on with him, and which is kind of saying a lot with some of the discussions that we'll have earlier, but or have later in the episode. But she's very much represents like what Mark could have and how his life could be if he would just drop this Moon Knight thing and live as a normal person.
Yeah. If you want to settle down, Mark, Marlene's your girl.
But if you want to punch people in the face while dressed in white.
Seems like no. Which is fine. You know, everybody has their boundaries. Super important. but let's move on to key relationships. So for Frenchie, Jean-Paul. Relationships for Jean-Paul obviously include Mark, since he's the one who gave him his nickname of Frenchie. And then like after the comics revealed that, like Lawrence said, found himself and revealed that he was gay. We also discovered that he has secretly been in love with Mark, which congratulations for living in your truth, Jean-Paul.
Yeah, but maybe stay away from Mark. That's not the person I'd fall in love with.
Some people just really like bad boys, okay?
Man, it's literally a triple threat.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Oh my God.
Then next we'll talk about Isabel Crystal, which is the first love interest, the one who leaves him, motivates him to go and join the
French Foreign Legion.
Yeah, French Foreign Legion.
Maybe that's why they call him Frenchie.
LOL. I mean, hey. She was secretly an agent for the DGSE intelligence, and she leaves him. He goes and does his thing. They have a reunion later because, you know, the theme is go back to your exes. And
that is the theme of Moon Knight.
That's the theme of Moon Knight. So they have like a really short reunion and things are looking up, except for then Isabel gets killed by Cajun Creed because she didn't deliver a shipment of cocaine.
First off, all of those words together are absolutely hilarious, minus the fact that she gets killed, but get killed by someone named Cajun, or by the Cajun Creed, and for not delivering a shipment of cocaine.
Yeah, I don't know, man, but that like super motivated Jean-Paul to like take revenge and, you know, be the one to serve out the justice this time. So him and Mark go and find him, and when Cajun Creed reveals that he had tortured Isabel for 5 days and all she would say was that she was planning to retire with him, like with Jean-Paul, that like ignites that fuse, and he takes Cajun Creed out.
And see, this is why these two make these. This is why Mark and Frenchie are also good friends, because anyone else in any sort of like superhero continuity would be like, hey, man.
Yeah. And that's let what, like, it go. We talked about the sense of strong loyalty, like everybody that he loves, he is loyal to.
Yeah. So it's like Mark, you know, Mark was like, yeah, let's pull up on Cajun Creed and like kick his ass, you know, and kill him. But, you know, other superheroes would have been like, hey, man, if you do this, you're not going to be any better. It's like, fuck that. Get yourself a friend that is like, nah, let's catch Cajun Creed right now. I know where they stay.
Mark is here for vengeance. Okay.
I mean, yeah, he is.
He literally is here for vengeance.
He is the fist of vengeance. And this is perfect timing. I just imagine Mark putting down a newspaper and being like, vengeance, you say?
Count Sign me up.
Yeah.
All right. The next person we'll talk about is his second love interest, Chloe Tran, who I guess because he has a tendency of just finding people that have secret things about them, she's secretly a member of the Templar Knights.
Yeah, man is bad at picking a partner. Like everybody, for the most part, except for maybe his husband, are just like, damn, dude, why?
Yeah, I don't know, man. But she also is the one that reveals to him that he has powers as bloodline so that he can turn into his ancestors, have all their abilities, memories, all that jazz.
He's like a walking Assassin's Creed person.
I feel like that's a whole entire... explaining this feels like an entirely separate episode because it's just a lot.
Frenchie's got powers. That's all you need to know. He's got bloodline powers.
Yeah.
It's like the hedge fund baby of powers.
Yeah. And it's very vague on whether he actually still has those powers or if it's just, if it's not accessible, if they were like taken away when he got injured in some other, very vague. Like, you know, again, theme of Moon Knight.
Is always Vigness. Very vague.
And the last person we'll talk about for Jean-Paul is Rob Silverman, which is Frenchie's partner in life and in business. They opened a restaurant and table together. He also happened to be Mark's physical therapist. So
finally, someone that's like doesn't yet have a dark secret in this comic book. So
it doesn't
like,
yet. That was a keyword.
Right. Someone may write this in the future, but like, yes, shout out to Frenchie for finally finding someone who doesn't suck, because like that is rare in Moon Knight.
Yeah.
And so now moving on to Marlene. Marlene also has a lot of key relationships that we mentioned before. But, you know, in typical comic book fashion that was written a long time ago, some of these key relationships got waxed. So we'll start with the key relationships that got waxed, both of which are her family members. So both Dr. Peters, Dr. Peter Aldrin and Peter Jr., both are, you know, good key relationships to start off with. First, Dr. Peter was her father, who was the archaeologist that she was with when the whole Bushman incident went down. Bushman brutally murders the man in front of her, and then Mark saves her, only for the entire events of Moon Knight to happen. And then after that, she falls in love with Mark, and then all
blah,
this
blah,
other
blah.
Stuff.
Yeah, tale's all, old as time.
all this other stuff happens. So, you know, we can say that first connection really affected her, because this was what drove her, you know, willingness to participate in Mark's activities as Moon Knight, and why she was like a powerful support system for him in the beginning. And then you have Peter Jr., who...
Dr. Peter Jr. to you, sir.
Peter Jr.'s sounds like a restaurant. But we have Peter Jr.'s coming up, Dr. Peter Jr.'s. And, you know, he experiments on someone and creates the villain known as Morpheus.
Yes.
And not Morpheus from...
Not Morbius.
I was going to say Morpheus from The Matrix, but either way, it's still Morbin time. So her brother creates the first instance of Morbin time, and eventually has to sacrifice himself to cancel out Morpheus's powers. She doesn't kill Morpheus, and Morpheus comes back several times. This is also, you know, this whole confrontation involves Mark and Moon Knight. So both members of her family somehow get involved with Mark and end up dead.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I will say that while it may not be explicitly stated in the comics, this does sort of come back and shape her view of Mark in like more recent publications. Mm-hmm. But moving on, her next connection is obviously Frenchie.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're the three musketeers of crime fighting. So they're obviously going to have a connection. You know, as you mentioned, Frenchie's willing to watch the kid. They both are Mark's moral compass. They, you know, they operate together.
Yeah. And after Jean-Paul got like really critically injured in one of their missions, Marlene was the one who took him to the doctors and everything. So they're pals.
Yep. She did not drop him in front of a statue of a god.
No. She learned her lesson.
Yeah. And then the big obvious one is Mark. But with Mark, we're also going to say Jake and Steven for reasons.
Obviously.
For a lot of reasons. Like, obviously, Mark is, you know, the key relationship. He saves her life. They fall in love. They have a great relationship, psych. They saves her. They fall in love. They have a wild ride of a relationship. There's a point where in the comics where it was written where he was more so not Mark with DID, but Mark who is just taking on different personas, like different undercover personas. She was more, there was a time where she was like more into the Stephen Grant persona than anything. Yeah. Then there was one of the more recent issues that we will go into probably in a later episode, where we find out that after a split between Mark and Marlene, that she is not done with everybody in this collective trio of people. She
missed Mark so much that she was willing to be like, Jake Lockley, come here, dude.
Yeah. So Jake Lockley locked it down.
In so many ways.
In secret. And then everybody found out because of the next key relationship, which is Deatrice Aurin, Marlene, and Jake Lockley's daughter.
Yeah.
We won't go into it too much, but yes, that is a thing.
There's just so much around that. when we get into this Sun King run, y'all are, it's a wild ride. We'll have a lot to talk about.
Yes. Yes. This was an AO what moment for me, but yeah.
The what?
It was like, but yes, that's a good way to. It was a crazy situation.
I'm not going to lie. The first time I read that, I laughed.
Yeah, I
very
did.
Hard.
I did too, because I was like, yo, wow. So, yeah, those are all of Marlene's key relationships. And I think that about wraps it up for our key relationships. We're going to, now that we've dropped this ball on you, we're going to take a quick break so you guys can grab a bourbon and recover. All of our listeners that aren't old enough to drink bourbon,
don't
grab
do that.
Yes, grab an apple juice and
if you're
recover.
Driving, don't do that either.
Yes. Matter of fact, yeah. Everybody, if you're watching at home, grab a bourbon. If you're not, grab water.
Drink responsibly. PSA. Okay. Now to the sponsors.
We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drumroll please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
All right. Hopefully you had a good swig of your drink. And hopefully that sponsored ad was relevant to you. So now we're going to talk about, at this part of the show, we want to talk about the motives. So what motivates our characters? How do they function? We will start with our man, Jean-Paul.
Jean-Paul.
A.K.A. Frenchie. I'll say in the beginning, like pre-Mark, Frenchie was motivated by his pursuit of new life and adventure.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I feel like you have to be to join the French Foreign Legion and become a mercenary and a helicopter pilot.
Yeah. Adventure has always been a part of Jean-Paul.
Yeah. And so I'm like, hey, when you get out of a relationship, this was his eat, pray, love. Get out of a relationship, start shooting at people with a gun.
Then get tired of doing it officially and then go get paid for it.
Right. And then, yes. those are good breakup plans. Amen. Except for shooting at people. Maybe just go to a gun range. after that, you know, like this adventure leads him to meeting Mark. And they develop this close friendship. And within it, Frenchie finds this new lease on life. He's able to do good. He's able to assist this superhero, while fighting crime. And he starts to discover a little bit more about himself. You know, hence, he was in love with Mark.
Yeah.
So, like, Frenchie is... I think we could both agree that Frenchie is just purely motivated by adventure and discovery. I think when one door closes for Frenchie, like six more open up.
The man has possibility.
Yeah, owning a restaurant, shooting at people, flying a helicopter, falling in love.
A renaissance man, if you will.
Yes. Frenchie is dope.
Absolutely. Marlene, on the other hand. Girl. Her motivation to like encompass it in just a phrase is love, lust, and career growth. It truly is. She is going after her man in whatever form and fashion that is. And her career, obviously she's changed jobs a bunch. She's gone up that ladder, president of mergers and acquisitions. What? Yes. Get it, girl. I'm here for breaking the glass ceiling and just doing whatever the hell you want. But that is really like she obviously she likes helping people as well. She likes the thrill of helping Moon Knight, the justice that he's bringing for a very long time until she kind of gets that it stops being a motive. Like, right. She's still, like, yeah, she's not now against helping people, but she knows that she cannot, she doesn't have anything else to sacrifice.
And when you get critically injured, it's like, you know, you start, yeah. Like, you that whole sort of rush into things headfirst, like, kind of reckless attitude, like, starts to become less attractive to people.
Yeah, and I mean, you can only get kidnapped and saved so many times before you start being like, this is old. Like, this is why I'm like, oh, she's very Daphne-esque, because it reminds me of Daphne in, like, the people version where she, like, leaves and then is now as martial arts, like, master because she was tired of getting taken away.
Yeah.
Like, Marlene, go get them skills.
Right.
Come back and then, well, I guess live your life. Don't do whatever you want, girl. But
career growth, finding a stable relationship, and love.
Yeah, and then like that love extends obviously to the partners that she has, but also ends up ultimately revolving around her daughter as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your children are super important to you and you want what's best for them. So the decisions that she makes ultimately are motivated by protecting her.
And she's a banging ass mom. I'll say that. She's a good ass mom. Ain't gonna lie. Kid got here by questionable means, but she takes care of that kid. So, shout out to Marlene.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I'm never gonna shit on Marlene's parenting skills because she makes some fucking killer ass calls.
And some of them are sacrificing the things that she. Well, I mean, like all parents do. Sometimes you sacrifice for yourself in order for your kid. So.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, she makes a decision that Mark is just too goddamn dangerous.
Yeah.
And then she's like, we're out. Me and the kid, you stay here. And that's perfectly reasonable. I'm not trying to put my kid in that fucking danger where you got a metahuman fire guy and this freaking dude that just keeps coming back to life. It's like, no, thank you. Mark, go away.
Right.
You're not killing this family member. You've already got two.
Right.
That's why that's why I didn't name her Peter.
Oh, good thing. We can, now that we've gone over, you know, all of the possible motives for both Jean-Paul and Marlene, we can go into the key conflicts for those characters. And so starting off with Jean-Paul, you know, I feel like just like Mark doing dumb shit is his key conflict, like arguably. So, but like on a serious note, the conflicts for him really stem from his relationships with others, like we said before, due to his loyalty to those that he loves. Like his connection to Isabel causes him to seek out and ultimately kill Cajun Creed, just like helping Mark in general, whether as Moon Knight or as a friend, has put him into a lot of danger. And like ultimately he lost the use of his legs while at Mark's mansion, which is a whole ordeal in and of itself. But like that, obviously, that is a huge, huge conflict to not to then be not able to live your life.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like being around Mark has forced him to face a lot of like trials and tribulations in his life. Some good, some absolutely fucking terrible, like that. Like the legs thing. But yeah, like, I would agree. There's a lot there. There's a lot that revolves around Frenchie, specifically, I feel like, with key conflicts. Marlene, on the other hand, there are. I guess there's a lot of key conflicts. Her key conflicts, I feel like, are 100% Mark.
Yeah.
It's Mark not going away. Mark killing all our family. Mark popping up.
Technically one of them.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, Mark being there, Mark, like, you can only see so many family members die when there's one person around.
Why does everything I touch die?
Like, why? I'm like, why are you always here when a member of my family dies, man? Like, I don't know,
omens.
But like, you know, Mark is a hero, but his actions do put a strain on Marlene, like from either putting her just in mortal danger, critically injuring her, getting her kidnapped on multiple occasions. Love child. All of, you know.
Yeah.
All of, like, dealing with, like, if she's not literally Marlene's life with Mark is, if I'm not dealing with Mark, I'm dealing with someone who's fucking associated with Mark. And that's fucking annoying. It's like, I can't get a breather because when I break up with this dude, either he's going to chase me down with his Corvette or I'm going to get kidnapped by someone who's like, this will stick it to Mark Spector.
Yeah.
And sticking it to Mark Spector while is, you know, several villains' pastimes, maybe give the girl a break.
Right.
She's got a life.
This is a very, very good reason why, you know, superheroes have their secret identities and they don't let the people that they're fighting against know who they're close to.
Yeah, Moon Knight. Yeah. That happened. I'm like, bro, you only have three people, like two other people to protect. Come on now.
Right.
But it's a good transition into the final part of our episode, which are just the general moral messages that these two characters play in the life of Moon Knight. And honestly, at the top of this episode, I wanted to say that we should have called this episode The Tale of Two Cities, because it is generally like the best of times, the worst of times.
Only if it's said in the Oscar Kokoschka voice. Yes.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And like literally these are what these two characters represent. You know, like starting with Frenchie. Like Frenchie is the best of times. We'll just say Frenchie, or at least the better of times.
Yeah.
He is the moral message that Frenchie portrays throughout the comic book series is it's never too late to find yourself. And good friends push you to be the best and support you through your worst moments. Frenchie is very much the character of, like Frenchie. Like I said, doors close on Frenchie's face. Frenchie finds new doors, and they're better doors. Gold doors. And there's opportunity inside. And that's why I fuck with Frenchie.
Even when life is coming at him hot.
Yeah.
He can survive it. He's a trooper.
Getting superpowers, finding a husband, opening up a restaurant, mooncopter, all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
Killing somebody named the Cajun Creed. Then we have Marlene.
Marlene. So, moral messages from Marlene, at least from my point of view. First and foremost, leave toxic relationships. Yes. Your ex is your ex for a reason. You cannot fix other people. Because what we didn't talk about in her relationships thing is her ex-husband, Eric, because she goes back to him as well during the comic book runs at one point too. So that's just like her MO is just leaving people and then going back to them. Stay strong. Leave the toxic relationship. Don't
punch those losers in their bird chest and keep moving.
Listen to your first instinct and don't get trapped in the same cycle.
But, you know, ultimately, every superhero has, you know, some sort of connection, you know, connections or support, whether it's sidekick, like, you know, people that provide them information, et cetera, et cetera. Moon Knight is no different. It's just that he has a very unique relationship with the people that are his main supporters. You know, whether it's, you know, them confiding in him, them accompanying him on secret missions, or, you know, him tag teaming up with one of his supporters to beat up a guy with a hilarious name because it's for revenge.
Right.
He's got a very interesting, you know, set of people in his corner. I mean, there are more people obviously besides these two. And I think the beauty of Moon Knight is that he takes a very unique approach to these people.
Absolutely. Like you said, there's more people. Like when we get into the Lemire run, we'll talk about you know, Crowley and Gina more in depth, since they are also a part of that as well. But all, like, I think one of the, like, main things of that run is the support that he gets from those that are around him, so that he can, like, he doesn't have to do these things alone. There, I mean, obviously, everybody has things that they have to do alone, and he has his fair share as well, but he doesn't have to do everything alone.
Right. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times for Moon Knight.
But he got through it because he had friends.
Very true. And with that, this is the truth learned, that being Moon Knight is not a curse nor a state of penance. It's simply who and what he was always meant to be. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. It really helps us grow the show. Be sure to connect with us on Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter at lore_party. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you under the blue moon.